Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang. Video game. Mega Ran. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's a fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Cause they giving you the latest on everything on your playlist. This bet the safest from basements to greatness. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ram. Might think you fly, but ain't nice as my guys. Got eyes on the prize. So like and subscribe. We back in the booth. I think that they gon' eat this up. The ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain. We have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the bang.
What is up, my pizzas? Are we live? Check, check. We're live? Yeah, we're live. We did it. Woo! Video Game Bang is back in 2021. We conquered the technical issues that plagued the show yesterday. So sorry for the false alarm, but now we're ready to give you the news, everybody. And starting off on the first episode of 2021, the year everything is fixed. We're going to right the wrongs of 2020. Absolutely. We're going to live our best life. And she is always living her best life. Lexi, what's going on? I don't know why out of habit I almost said, what's up, girlfriend?
What's up, boy?
How you been?
I mean, it's like you said, I'm trying to live my best life out here in these streets. You know, League's been kind of giving me depression, going in a deep hole there. But other than League, you know, I did scoop up Xbox, you know, Series X.
Ooh, so wait, what? This is news to me. Yeah. How'd you do that?
So I'll be playing some Cyberpunk.
Wait a minute. Were you utilizing some industry connections to get this Xbox?
Because things are hard to cop. This is a multi-click 7 a.m. when it restocked. Like, I wish it was industry related, but no. Okay. So I'm excited about that. Been jamming on my guitar. Gonna try to learn some songs, especially from Cyberpunk. There's one that everybody loves right now that I'm trying to learn.
Okay. I got a song for you to learn. Please.
Okay.
Learn. Okay. It's a song by a band called Extreme, and it's called More Than Words.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is gonna be our song.
Taking song requests, okay.
And we're gonna we're gonna play it live on the podcast in 2021. Okay. That's the video game bang promise.
Okay, let's do it. Let's be realistic right here. Like, let's say take maybe 5 song requests. So Corey already picked his. So slowly add them to the list, and I'll try to play it live from Studio 5, Video Game Bang, you know, 2021.
Okay, this is how it's going to work. Lexi.
All right, through the fire and flames is the next one.
There you go, next one up. Baby steps.
Fire and flames.
Van Halen.
You heard her voice.
Now I know, I forgot. I know the Blues Brothers song because it's so easy. And then I know Legends Never Die. The chords. So moving on up in the world.
She's a virtuoso, everybody. You heard her voice returning to the show, kicking off the year strong. One of the founders of VGB. Mm-hmm. Been there since we were in the Blue Room back in the hood of South Natomas. Yep, sharing the couch. Cables running all through the floor. It was dark times back then, but this person always made it brighter for us. Jada, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back.
Good to have you back. It was refreshing to, because we talked for about 4 hours yesterday as I fought through technical issues for the studio. So we got back reacquainted, but there's been some updates for you. You've been all over the place. What have you been doing now? You're in game development? Like, you're always doing something different.
Yeah, so, you know, I left fandom with a bunch of other people during the COVID stream of layoffs and such like that, which, you know, it is what it is, but it gave me incentive to finally take that next step and start working on my game development journey. You know me, I've always been a creative person. I've got all these ideas. I'm like, we should do this. And now I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to do it instead of waiting. So,
you've played enough games. Like, I think you've probably played more video games than any single person I've ever met. Actually, you've probably played more video games than a large group of people put together that I've ever known. So I feel like you would know what's good and what's bad.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and it's not a huge thing, but like I platinumed 15 games on my PlayStation last year alone.
Jesus.
Like, and that's just what I finished, you know, 100%. That's not even counting everything else that I touched and played. But I've put together my first two or three projects in using Unity and Unreal so far. So I've been doing a lot of that, focusing on a lot of level design. I started DMing a D&D campaign for the first time.
Well, see, that's something I would want. I would think you would be good at too.
So yeah, I've written a whole homebrewed story for D&D with custom mechanics that are not in like any source book. So I've built up this whole, like, there's a whole town upgrade mechanic and system like that for the players. I've got this whole,
okay, JD, you don't have to sell us anymore. We'll play with you. Okay. We'll play with you. Jeez. We don't need any 100%. More. Stop selling. Just ask.
No worries. I mean, yeah, if you guys want to play, I'm totally down to run a second game of the week. You guys can totally come into the world and I'll run a separate campaign for a different party. That's
don't pretend
totally
like
fine.
You got other people to do this with. You know that this is it. We're your best friends. Come on.
Oh no, I've got a yeah, I DM sure. for a party of nine. Yeah. I DM for a party of nine right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So
sure.
balancing
madness.
What are their names?
Balancing
name
combat.
Them. You can do like one thing in like 40 minutes with that many people. That is madness.
Oh, it is so the battles are forever long. Like they're in a three-part trial right now that they've been on for like 4 or 5 weeks. But they should finish it this next week, which is good.
So
if I don't kill the whole party,
there you go.
I don't want to add to your workload too much because I know, you know, game development can be taxing and I don't want you to burn out
for
or
sure.
anything. We don't want a cyberpunk, you know, to happen. But I think now that you are getting in there, video game bang, the game has to happen now. Like it's written in the
what
stars.
Would that game
what,
look like?
What, what are we doing? What is our genre? What are we doing? We doing graphic novel style?
Dungeon crawler.
We gotta work the dungeon crawler.
Yeah, it's a dungeon crawler.
Dungeon crawler. I totally actually that is actually
gotta
my
battle
name.
Each one of the hosts.
It's
gotta whatever
be
their
yeah,
domain
exactly.
Is.
It's a like a stoner odyssey. Like you know, we go from one crazy place to the other. It'd be amazing.
Yeah, no, I'm actually down. Like, I'm finishing up an on-rail shooter right now, and once I finish that, the next thing was a dungeon crawler that I was planning on building.
Let's
so
go, see.
I will prototype something out, and I'll
VO. Dude,
I'll prototype like... something out, and when it's ready, I'll send it to you.
Just give one dude a beard and call it VGB. Like, that's all you have to do.
I've probably already got an asset for you, Corey.
Oh, let's go.
I think I've already got one that'll work for you.
Don't threaten me with a good time. He always threatens me with a good time. Joining us, rounding out the fourth person on the crew, the Mandalorian maniac, I like to call him, Kyle the Winner. What's going on, man?
What's up? I mean, not too much. It's been a weird week. I like started working again, and that's been a weird vibe.
Oh, congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank
can you,
you.
We have we said it on the show? Can you say what it is? Like without details,
I'm doing some contract QA stuff for Harmonix. I can't necessarily say what I'm working on, but it's like super duper cool stuff.
So you've been briefed
my,
now.
My office is taken over with gear now of like all sorts of testy stuff and peripherals and test kits, and it's a cable nightmare in here. So it's all off camera.
That's incredible. You're kind of living the dream. So how does it feel? How's the company environment? Were they welcoming? Did they bring you in with open arms? Did they send you a t-shirt? How does it go?
I didn't get a t-shirt yet. I probably will if I ever work at the, you know, in person with them. But it's everything super cool. It's like a very different world. Like every other place I've worked has been like much more like, kind of strict and like overly formal and stuff, and like, you know, like a front-facing company where you have to be always be on and courteous to whatever. Like, no, it's like an internal thing where everyone you're talking to is also part of your team. Like, you start off a meeting, like everyone's listening to like a punk music playlist that the VP was like putting on, because everyone is like a huge music head. Like, everyone loves, everyone's got a band and
harmonics. Like, that's why I
feel like that's a requirement.
Yeah, that's why this is the perfect job for you, man. I'm so thrilled. I'm thrilled. I'm over the moon for you, dude. I'm so proud. I'm happy, and I know you're gonna crush it. So keep us up to date, and let's turn that bad boy into a full time spot, man. That's what I'm talking about.
My goats.
So we have a lot of news to talk about, man. Well, let's start with the number one news story of 2021. This thing shook the foundations of the world, actually. Like, it made global news. Apparently, they're going to have a female protagonist in the Grand Theft Auto series. Like, what? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's a huge what.
Also about time.
Yeah. About time?
Yeah.
What do you mean about time? This is GTA. It's about manhood.
It's been how many GTAs, and you can't change in your character to be a woman? Like, hello? Like, I just don't get it. So, yes, about time. I agree with her.
Woman?
Every single one.
Whoa, man.
This is how it is. Every single game for GTA, it's a guy that's like a drug dealer or something.
It's
like,
Grand
give
Theft
us some respect.
Auto.
We can do drugs.
Women can deal drugs too.
That's
no
true.
The glass ceiling is broken.
I bought weed off of a woman before. Yeah, I know. It's true.
You know the difference
be
between
the next Walter White.
You know what the difference is between having a female protagonist and a male protagonist in a GTA game?
You get to stare at booty for.
No, we
hours?
Get away with the crime.
Oh,
yep.
We're smarter. We get away with everything.
So, you know, I thought this was fine. I had read the headline. I was like, oh, cool. Yeah. Like, the game's going to do something new. Awesome. You know, like, whatever. But that wasn't the consensus, apparently. If you live on social media, there was a little bit of outrage. I'll read you just a couple of the comments. Here's one from a charming fellow. He said, I'll just wait for the online mode then. Screw the story. Another one from Claus Critchety. He said, almost all the player base is male. We don't want to play as a woman. Clout Cocaine said, a mission having us do house chores? No thanks. Wow. The internet really showing its
these
colors.
Are the most,
huh?
Let me calm. These are some of the most like ignorant type comments. Oh, yeah. Like, anybody who says that a majority of the player base is male has not looked at any type of statistics
that
in
is,
gaming.
Yeah. That is the most like guys like video games, girls don't play video games ever. Like, okay, bud, like maybe in like 1970, you could maybe say it was pretty like overwhelmingly male dominated, but like it's like 49-51 right now. Like, it's,
and I think last I saw, women were actually the majority of gamers.
Yeah,
I think last I saw, it was like 1% or 2% more, but it was where the majority.
Yeah, and also like, wait for the story was definitively the best part of GTA ever. Like, it's like the one thing that they can do well is tell an interesting and like compelling story, and like I think it's just an interesting, like, there's other stories that you can tell. There's so many different things, and like that's the one thing that Rockstar can definitively do really well is make you feel immersed in a really interesting and unique storyline.
Do you think the only disappointment I had with this whole thing was that I really liked the three character situation that we had from the last one. So
I don't think they said it necessarily is going to be a sole protagonist either.
Yeah.
It says it's introducing the franchise's first female protagonist, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's the sole protagonist. Like, I think what Michael, Trevor, and Franklin were all technically still the protagonists, but like,
yeah, that would be cool. I mean, if we could still keep that system, because I really, really did think that added some complexity and awesomeness to the experience of the game itself. But you're absolutely right. I overhyped myself on Cyberpunk because of the correlations people were making to GTA. I was expecting open world GTA style, where they leave no stone unturned when it comes to how immersive their world is. When you go under a bridge, you get static on the radio. You know, like, they think of every little detail, from how the water, you know, trickles off your pants. Like, it's insanely detailed, and cyber, and anything else just isn't that. And they've set the standard, you know, when it comes to Sandbox, and they continue to push. So, like, if they have a female protagonist, like, they've earned the right to do whatever they want, and you just trust them and give them your money, and it's going to be worth your time. What do you think they're going to do? Like, what do you think they're really going to do to let this ruin your experience?
They're at the point where they kind of know what they're good at and know how to do it well. Like, they kind of are just, like, in the rhythm, and I think they're not, like, stepping too far out of their comfort zone anytime, so they can kind of just do it and be fine. Like, unless they try to do something wildly different, like, it's going to be a pretty good game with, like, a cool story, a pretty good online mode, because that's what they do. That's what they know how to do. They'd be dumb to not do that, but looking nicer and having slightly newer mechanics and interesting, you know, sub ideas that they take it to.
That's be real. They're not going to reinvent the wheel. There's no point in reinventing the wheel. That's not what a storied franchise is for. You don't reinvent the wheel with that. You do that with, like, if you're going to do a spinoff, like when they did GTA Chinatown Wars, you know?
Oh, yeah.
When they did something like that, that's how you do, like, kind of a, you know, if you're going to reinvent the wheel and try something different.
I kind of wish, I felt a little, I don't know how I felt about it, because I've been replaying some games. I reconfigured the studio in the off time, so I've been playing console games more. And I've been running through with Diegondo, David Ng, longtime friend of mine, just going through co-op games. And we ran through the latest Gears of War game. And they did some stuff. They messed with the formula, and I didn't like it. Mm. They threw in these open world sections. Yeah. Mm. I want my GTA and my Gears of War experience to be on rails, you know? I want them to pull out
pistons. Just have a generic giant lobby area with lots of little cover that you run between. The bad guys run in and you hide behind them, and pop up, shoot them, and hide back down. Pop, shoot them, and hide back down.
They gave you, like, a speeder, like a pod racing thing, and, you know, you could load it up with weapons and go around, and you could level up your little robot guy and stuff. But that's not Gears of War to me. That's, like, something else. And it was fine. Their expansion, by the way, is really good. It's way better than the actual campaign. I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of it, but it's like, it's like this little expansion content that's free if you have the Game Pass. That was fun. That was awesome. But if it's your main franchise, stick to your recipe. It's good. It worked. You don't need to mess with it. Let's talk about something that I promised we would talk about last episode once Lexi had time to catch up. The freaking Mandalorian, baby. Full-blown spoiler edition, because you guys had enough time.
You had, like, a month.
Lexi, you watched it, right? You're caught up.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, well, I'm just going to drop out real quick.
How dare you?
I'm just kidding.
No way.
I watched that like night of its premiere. I'm good.
Okay. How many times have you watched it, Kyle the Winter?
I think I've watched, at this point, I've watched the entire first two seasons three times through, but, like, just with once by myself, once with one friend, once with my wife. And so I've kind of just, like, gone through it each time. So it's one of the ones that, like, definitely, like, it actually kind of holds up. Like, I mean, obviously the like mind-blowing surprises aren't there anymore, but, like, it's still a well-written, well-directed, well-acted TV show.
It's crazy, and this ties right into the first story, which is why I had no problem going there. But this is proof how innovation, good writing, quality acting, caring about, you know, character creation, and starting a brand new, you know, chapter of something could reinvigorate the entire franchise. Because The Mandalorian came out, there was no Jedi in it for, like, a season. Like, you know, it wasn't about that. It was about this new thing, this amazing Mando. You got a baby Yoda who stole all of our hearts. And then it evolved to now they're going to have a Boba Fett. He's going to have his own series. They saved Boba Fett.
Yeah.
He was, like,
They saved him, and they also kind of redeemed him as, like, more than just this kind of, like, who is this guy? I don't know. His armor looks cool. I know nothing beyond that. And they, like, gave him an interesting personality and, like, all sorts of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Literally, until The Mandalorian, the show, like, Boba Fett was one of the most overrated characters in any major sci-fi.
He had like six lines.
He was
and
the
then
most,
he was eaten.
He was the most overrated character until they invented. Actually, Captain Phasma was supposed to be the like redemption.
Yeah,
it's like, have you got you guys must have learned your lesson with what you did with Boba Fett. Captain Phasma's got to be awesome. Like,
yep.
Two lines of dialogue, nothing again. But, you know, put it in the hands of Disney and let, you know, the guy from Swingers. I'm sorry, what's his name? Who saved us?
John Favreau?
John Favreau.
Yeah, he's always just going to be the guy from Swingers. Come on. That'll never do anything.
Oh, my God. I was like, what are you doing?
I was looking at I haven't watched Swingers in so long. And I was like, is he talking about Jon Favreau? I have no idea who he's talking about at this point.
The Swingers guy, man. Yeah, he's like our savior.
And you give me crap about the Fleetwood Mac thing, and you're like the guy from Swingers.
Whoa,
like,
whoa,
he was
whoa.
In
Don't even
so
compare.
So many better things besides.
Don't even compare what you did to Stevie Nicks to Swingers guy, okay? So Disney announced the return of Lucasfilm Games as a brand. Lucasfilm's legacy in gaming stretches back for decades, and with Lucasfilm and a galaxy far, far away entering new and unprecedented phase of creativity, so will the world of Lucasfilm Games. Developed in collaboration with the finest studios across the industry, you'll see quite clearly that they're not playing around. Because EA had Soul Dominion, you know, and it was a little hit or miss, honestly. They kind of...
they got...
I feel like they really got
comfortable. They're, like, resting on their laurels a lot, and, like, no one... Like, there's so many cool ideas that you could do with it. Like, no, we're going to just do... You know how they guys, like, that Battlefront game that we did, like, long time? We're just going to do that again. Okay, cool.
I feel like that's kind of... That's EA... That's one of the big cards that EA plays in with almost any franchise that they own. You know, you look at Madden, FIFA, you know, they all are suffering from the same thing of just being the same thing over and over again. And they tried to take that formula and apply it to Star Wars and everything else. And that's why they've gotten stale.
Yeah.
So
the first one is Ubisoft Massive, the developer of The Division, is working on an open-world Star Wars games with Lucasfilm Games. Notably, this will also mark the end of EA's exclusive rights to the Star Wars games. The deal's been in place since 2012, so time flies, man. Because when you think about it, they've had, you know, sole proprietor over Star Wars games, and we've only gotten, like, two things of, like, substance. Like, real substance. Everything else has just been kind of... Meh. So what do you want to see from an open world Star Wars game running on the Snowdrop engine, Jada?
Oh my goodness, on the spot. First thing, I'm curious what the setting they're going to do. Like, are we gonna, I for one think it would be really cool to do something that's kind of in the Immortal Phoenix Rising kind of graphic style and do the Clone Wars. Do an open world Clone Wars kind of overtelling of that storyline, because I think there's still so many people that haven't watched the animated Clone Wars. And I think there's so much depth and characters and just variety that they could really showcase in that time period. That would be amazing. And that would also, let's be real, it's going to be the first Star Wars game from Ubisoft, probably since forever ago, if they've even done one. I can't recall. I don't think so. Like, the big draw for Star Wars is pretty much always Jedi, so we're going to want to see some type of Jedi in this first game.
Okay.
So.
What do you think, Kyle?
I there's so many, like, interesting things about Star Wars that, like, it presents so many inherent challenges of, like, first off, you're dealing with a, like, from a game design perspective, like an OP class, right? Like the Jedi is always definitively better than any other thing. Like it seemed like they had a real weird time trying to, like, figure that out in a lot of games in the past of, like, okay, well, how do we make it so you're not just running through people as a Jedi? Or, like, I mean, like, you see that in the Battlefront games, like the Jedi are, like, the most ridiculous thing by far and can just kill any regular soldier, even specially, whatever. And so that's interesting.
Well, they didn't say that this was going to. They didn't say it was going to be an MMO or even competitive, for that matter. They just said open world.
I think they're going to do it like Division, where it's like kind of co-op-y, which I think is, I prefer a co-op to like an MMO kind of thing. That's kind of what like I wish that Fallout 76 was, like more co-op, less like MMO-y.
Yeah,
because it's just hard to do that better. But I think like the other inherent challenge is like Star Wars has so many fantastic planets and worlds, and I think that like the little bit of the Old Republic I played, it's like they don't really like to, it's so hard to like kind of immerse you in all of those fantastic and interesting worlds. Like, how do you do that? Because like the Division is like one part of a city and that's about it. Like, there's so much more interesting, crazy places you can go with that. But like, how do you do that well and like get you deep and immersed in all these fantastic places? Like, do you just pick one? Because like, you could do that one well, but also like, what Star Wars game or movie, like, just, okay, you get one place, you know, you get Tatooine, you just run around Tatooine for the rest of your life. Everything is orange.
That's good luck, have fun. This is the planet I was going to suggest for that analysis.
But isn't
I would love to see it as an Assassin's Creed type game.
Okay.
That way you can have multiple different, like how you want different storylines and different things running. Mm-hmm. I feel like if it's like that, then they could do that. I would like to see something like that. And please don't reskin it. Just
yeah.
But oh, that scenario, like Assassin's Creed, like I forgot which one the last one I played was like in Egypt. I forgot.
Oh, Origins. Origins.
Like that type of vibe, but. Yeah,
open, just here with the details, it's just so obscure because they've already had open world Star Wars games technically then, because and many of them, because the Knights of the Old Republic games were technically open world. You can go wherever you want, do the things you wanted to do. The last that other Star Wars
Fallen Order it just dropped was technically kind of open world esque.
Yeah, I think they should take a tip from the Mandalorian and go no Jedis and call it just like a squad based like shooter.
Give me Republic Commando kind of like.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I think the Clone Wars thing would be interesting. And like, you know, I think that that's an interesting, you could explore the different areas and stuff like that. Maybe you have a Jedi helping you out for a minute or, but like for the, like, I think.
Yeah.
There's also like all of the pre-episode one or, I mean, like there's so much stuff that exists in like the lore world or like possibilities for that or like. In like the Mandalorian time space, like after the original trilogy, like there's so many interesting timelines and places they can explore and make things interesting. And I hope that they don't kind of go to like, oh, we're gonna have your favorites. Here's, you know, Luke and no. Rey and everyone, all of your favorite people are here. Yeah. Like, you can tell a new story. People are okay with that. We have seen that with the Mandalorian. You can explore and make new characters, and people like. Will like them.
That's the beauty. I mean, that's the beauty of Star Wars. It's what the one thing I was thinking about every episode of watching The Mandalorian was every time they went to a new planet and met this new like race of people or just new people. And like this, I don't know if this existed in Star Wars before or not. Like, but it's space, so like I automatically buy in to it. Yeah. You know, like you just kind of like it's space. There's, you know, if they've got there's fish people. What other type of people do they have out there? Like,
there's a lot of flexibility in it too. Mm-hmm. Like, you can do so much, and it kind of just like, yeah, okay, whatever, dude. Like, it's not like you can only do that. It's not like true science fiction to where like everything has to align with a particular like. It's no, dude. Just do whatever you want. It's fun. It's wacky. It's crazy. It's like that's what it is.
Yep. Also, I think the last little note is like, I'm pretty sure everything that goes into Star Wars now has to be canon. I think is if I remember right, reading something like
so,
everything, everything that they're creating has to be canon. So that's another thing with this game. But yeah,
The last part too, Machine Games, which is a Bethesda studio, which is a Microsoft studio now. The developers behind Wolfenstein: The New Order will be developing an Indiana Jones game, and that game was teased in a tweet from Bethesda, which was just like one of those panning concept things.
I still fall for that, bro. Like, it still works. Like, they can keep doing it for like another year or two until people are like sick of it. Like, it still works, dude.
I'm gonna be stone cold honest with you guys. I've never watched an Indiana Jones movie, so I was the least amount of hype.
You should watch them. They're pretty good.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's really all I got. It's like they're fun. They're fun movies. And I think like they. There's
I don't know. Shia LaBeouf is in there. Isn't Shia LaBeouf his son now? Like, I don't want.
Don't watch that one. No, don't watch that one. Watch the first three.
Just watch the first three.
Yeah, Temple of what's the Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple of Doom, and then Last Crusade. Those are the only three.
I might get around to them. I might get around to them. We'll see. Maybe to get ready for the game. What's interesting, though, is, you know, this brings Microsoft into it. I don't know how much pull Indiana Jones has in the game world, though. I don't think
much. I don't think they've done a good game. I think they probably had like a movie game for like, I mean, they have like the Lego Star Wars or the Lego Indiana Jones, which are the best. Like,
they did one back on the original Xbox, and that one was decent for the time. Like, if you go back and look at it now,
What can he do? Like, is it like Pitfall? Is it like Tomb Raider or Uncharted?
Like, I think that's the interesting thing is, like, do you go Uncharted with it? Because, like, Uncharted Tomb Raider-esque, like, that's kind of his MO. Mm-hmm. But, like, the interesting thing is, like, games have done game Indiana Jones for 25 years at this point. Like, we had Lara Croft as the video game Indiana Jones, basically, for the, like, the longest time, and she's a iconic here in a character, and like I feel like it's gonna be tricky again to like make that cool, but like I do find it funny how the Machine Games is now the like Nazi punching studio at this point. Like, that's their MO is like, we make really good games about punching Nazis. Like, all right, cool. if that's what you do well, do it well. Like, cool. Yep.
I think it'd be cool if they kind of did like kind of the very more like archaeologist angle, kind of focused on a little bit more of that discovery and kind of puzzle solving. I think it would be
cool.
I think that would be the better way to go, the best way to go with this one, because it'd be something different, and that's what I think everybody wants right now.
You know, all this talk about Star Wars and Lucas and games and whatever, that's not what everybody wants right now, Jada. Everybody just wants KOTOR 3. That's what everybody wants right now. And don't give me this, oh, we got the Old Republic. No, that doesn't count.
No, very different. I love KOTOR. I have the fondest memory of, there was a conversation I had with this random NPC towards the beginning of the game, and I had my persuasion all the way leveled up, and I convinced him to give me his credits and jump in a quarry and kill himself. And I was like, this is what I want out of my Star Wars experiences. I just want to be able to be the Sith badass that I am inside. Yeah. I just want to let it out.
I would love a James Bond remake.
Oh, they tried it once. I feel like you could do that again. I would love to see that. Remember the Xbox? I think it was Xbox 360, maybe?
Yeah.
James Bond game, like, they tried to do it cool, but I feel like that's one you can totally do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's continue from one Disney property to the other with WandaVision that just hit the Disney Plus. Everybody caught up on that one? Show of hands. Raise your hands.
Yep.
Please raise your hands.
Oh, hi.
I would say spoilers, but there's nothing really super spoilery yet. It's super early in. It's
there are things in there, Corey. There's a, you weren't paying
but like
attention.
Those are like the minor. Those are different. We're talking like overall vibe kind of thing.
Yeah, there's nothing.
Well, at the end, did you guys not see like when they were at? Well,
no, I'm catching. I feel like those the small things that like we're getting. I feel like those are maybe spoilery things we can avoid. But like talking about like the overall show and
It's like anything they've showed us in the first two episodes is just tip the iceberg stuff. Like that's stuff that's to get us hooked to know that there's something bigger going on, that this show isn't totally cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, because it is weird. Like, if you're expecting a Marvel blockbuster movie, it is very much not that. It's very stylized, but extremely well done. I mean, I'm sure all of us as kids were left to our own devices and found our way to Nick at Night, you know, and watch 6 hours of Bewitched for no damn reason as an 8 year old.
I dream of Genie.
Yeah, I dream of Genie.
Dick Van Dyke. And, and it's weirdly like they find a way to do. I always find it weird. Like it's this weird, like there's obviously like it's a modern characters that we know, but like they do the style incredibly well, but they also avoid like the weird sketchy things of like, you know, the things that existed in the 50s that were normal. They're like, okay, well, we're gonna find a way to like give you the 50s vibe, yet avoiding the like,
and show you how far we've come.
Yeah,
at the same time. This is how it should have been.
Yeah. And I think, but like the, it's genuinely funny at like every time that they try to make a joke, it like is actually funny. It's not like a bad TBS sitcom that like hurts my soul because it's so canned. Like, no, it's genuinely, you know, but like, as well, that there's a new angle with it, with like the kind of fantasticalness and the other kind of deeper meaning, what's going on outside of the show kind of world as well.
Which is totally lost on me. Lexi, I don't know if you know some stuff that I don't know, but what's your best guess?
I'm a hardcore Marvel fan. What do you mean? Like, I thought you paid attention.
I know. I am too. I've watched them all multiple times, but this is so far out there. I don't know what's happening.
There's several Hydra references, but there are also, like, I don't want to spoil the show for anybody who hasn't seen it, but like there's moments like that you're like thinking back to the old like Captain America movies and stuff. So if you rewatch or watch it, just think and remember everything that happened between Wanda and Vision during those movies, because things are in the show that are from the movie, but it's like a snippet of it. But you have to remember the movies to do it, because after I watched that, I watched Legends.
Okay.
Which is like their other show that like kind of dive deep into their, you know, their story, like throughout the movies and stuff like that. And like so much other things clicked that I rewatched. And I was like, oh my gosh, like,
so
you'll miss something if you don't remember like Captain America and like Infinity War and like all the movies that they were in.
So Lexi, what movies would you recommend people to go back and rewatch to like, be prepared to catch as much stuff while watching WandaVision?
Any that has Vision and Wanda. I don't remember all of them, but
you can't pay
like
me to watch Age of Ultron again. I'm sorry.
Oh my god. Yeah. No, but that one actually has stuff in it that was in the show.
Yeah, nice try. Nice try, Disney. I'm not gonna go watch it again.
I'm trying to help you out, but I'm telling you, like, and I'm sure it's gonna keep going and build up into that anticipation to the last like episode, and then you'll be like, oh, but like right now they are giving us enough.
What's
like,
the cadence?
Like I freaked out.
There was two episodes when it launched. Are they going to be dropping two on us each week, or is
probably one?
Anybody know when these come out?
You know, and Kyle, you said something about like the jokes and stuff. I think that a lot of that credit goes to the actors. I think Paul Bettany's delivery in almost everything has just been it reminded me so much of his character from Knight's Tale. And like it felt like it was kind of like how he was playing a little bit. He brought a little bit of that character forward, that kind of that delivery.
Oh, he was in Knight's Tale.
Yeah, he was the basically the bard. I forget what they were called.
He was like the best dude in that. Yeah, okay.
Exactly, yeah.
My wife made me watch that. That was one of the quarantine catch-up movies. I watched The Sound of Music and
there you go.
And that one. Yeah, my wife's been slowly educating me.
The schedule is from now until March 5th, and it looks like an episode every week.
Okay.
And there's 9 episodes. So
I was going to say, I do appreciate that they don't, it's not like a show where you need to know all the outer lore, like you don't need to be a lore nerd to find, if anything, like my parents who like have maybe watched a couple of Marvel movies, if ever, like they would find it just funny and interesting and like, it's got enough familiarity that most people can latch on to while also taking an interesting angle of it being a, there's some other interesting things afoot. And like those, I mean, maybe some people would be weirded out because they were just expecting a straight sitcom, but like it's better. They're doing slightly more than that, which is all that I really care. Like that's an interesting idea.
I saw an article where people were like, there's like this small percentage of people that were like complaining about their voices. Well, especially Wanda's, because you know, she had that like Russian type sounding voice
in the first movie.
But there's a small percentage of people complaining about it, but she basically came out and was like,
"Listen, I'm not a great actress.
I'm not saying that it's not there. Oh. No, no. She was like, I'm not saying it's not there, but what she's portraying right now is this classic American, you know, and that's the vibe that she wants to portray. And she was like, you don't know what the future holds. You don't know if that voice will be there or not. But I'm portraying this character, so that's exactly
how they're both putting on a ruse. Like, that's what the show is about. They're putting on a ruse.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it's I don't know about that one. I don't know about that one, Elizabeth Olsen. I think you realized that Russian accents were hard, and then you just backed out of it.
Well, she said that one thing that they told her when they made Ultron was that they wanted her to have that voice, her and the brother, but they didn't want her to sound like Black Widow. Because, you know, Black Widow is from that area. So they had, like, a different area that they wanted them to sound like. So she was like, it was harder because they had to make up these sounds and stuff themselves. It isn't, like, an actual language they made up. Like, you know.
And technically, so, the country that they're both from doesn't exist. Yeah. And all that weird stuff, too.
So she was like, her and the guy, like, her brother, was, like, making up this whole new dialect. So she was like, I can turn it off and on when I want to, basically. But, yeah.
Yep. Derek Shepherd, who actually was the one who fixed the studio yesterday. Funny story. So Windows update happened. It messes up the studio. So, and I know how to fix it, but I had maybe consumed a little bit of cannabis. And so I wasn't at 100%. I was, you know, fixing things, moving dials, and I accidentally grazed a button that I've never touched. And it sent the studio, it exploded like a vagina candle. Like, my studio did not work.
Did not bring that back.
That's a joke that I feel like only a couple people are going to get, and then they're going to be really confused.
Just Google Gwyneth Paltrow.
Just look up Twitter trends.
Yeah, or look up Gwyneth Paltrow vagina candle explosion, and you'll get it.
Oh, my.
You're going to ruin some people.
You shouldn't even tell it.
You're about to ruin some people's search algorithms. People's search algorithms are going to be all screwed up now.
But anyways, he ended up helping me through it.
You will have to get somebody caught up.
Poor guy, he got me through it. So that's why the thing is going. But he says that these episodes are $25 million per episode for WandaVision. No way, not on my best day. I could film those shot for shot for $100.
Nah, bro.
Not with
no,
with
there's no way, because you know
special effect
without paying your actors.
No,
I always found it super interesting too. I
think Mandalorian around the same budget.
Yeah, but look at Mandalorian. You got space and CGI and all this crazy stuff. Yeah, Baby Yoda
both
alone.
Do magic, and he turns into a robot man and can walk through walls and stuff. Yeah, I was gonna say the cool thing is that like all of this, which is a cool thing about like where we are at CG stuff, is like they can make it look like it's a literal like 50s fishing wire string and like you know, cinema magic kind of level stuff, which is like I love the stylization that they're able to do with just like even the magic stuff.
I've
like
seen
when she's flying the plates over, it looks like it would just be on a string flying over.
Yeah, exactly what I'm saying. $25 million, my ass. No way. I learned all those techniques on day one of amateur film school. Anyways.
Corey, I'm going to need you to see. You do the next episode then.
I would love to. Call me up, swingers guy or whoever's in charge over there.
just go remake the first episode. Just go remake the first episode shot for shot. Let us know what your budget comes up to.
All right. Damn right, I will. The next one I want to talk about is something I'm super excited about. Mortal Kombat is going to get the reboot treatment in the movies, which we've kind of talked about before, but we've gotten our first leaks of, I don't think they were leaks. It looked like
official photos. They were teasers.
Yeah. Teaser photos from, what we're going to be seeing here in just a few short months. And I am hyped. This is one of my favorite franchises for fighting games of all time, because the story, while like simplistic, is so deep and just good. Like the way that they have the realms shaped, it's always been I think given the short end of the stick when it comes to like its presentation in movies. Did anybody else see these, and what's your hype level?
I saw the stills, and you know, I like fighting games, but I was just like, I just hope it doesn't end up like a disaster, like Street Fighter, the Chun-Li movie. Like, I watched it. I love fighting games again, but I was just like, oh no, I don't know. Like, it looked better than that, but I don't know. Like, I know Kyle was talking about this, like how, like video game movies, like they're iffy. Like,
they're almost always bad. Like the Witcher is totally different. It's not even a video game. That was a book series, then video game, then movie, and or then show, and so it kind of like it's a little easier to do. But like I feel like that's kind of the you just are used to it at that point. Like the original Mortal Kombat movie, oh, that was a I watched that like I think that was like one of my first quarantine movies I watched.
Be careful what you say here. The first one
was
be careful.
Yeah.
The when was that? Like late 90s or something? Maybe no, it was early 90s.
The original Mortal Kombat?
Early 90s.
Yeah.
It was 95.
Okay.
It was mid 90s, yeah.
That was a fun adventure.
Thank you. Yeah, it was.
And yeah. I like it's not it didn't deserve an Academy Award, but it was fun. And I'm worried that they're going to try to be too good and interesting, but still, like, it's not a movie that people are going to take seriously, and so they're just going to be, like, a kind of a bleh movie that is, like, if it's, I think if it's bad, it's going to be better, honestly. If it's corny, if it's silly, if it's...
Campy,
yeah. Like, I feel like that's what it needs to be.
I agree. I was looking at the credits to see like who's attached to the project right now. The first name listed on IMDb is Greg Russo, who his only other projects according to IMDb are Mortal Kombat as a writer, Death Note 2, and Space Invaders. That's it. That's his entire IMDb. But the good news is it's also co-written with Dave Callahan, who's writing Shang-Chi. He's done. He just wrote Wonder Woman, which I don't even want to open up that can of worms right now.
we didn't talk about that yet. Oh my God. Yeah, someone added to the show notes. We're circling back.
Oh my God.
But he's attached to a lot of big stuff right now. He's doing Shang-Chi. He's doing Into the Spider-Verse 2, Expendables 4, and he did Zombieland Double Tap. So he's got a lot of high profile stuff, so I'm kind of feeling a little bit comfortable with that, with the writing for it, but we'll see.
I'm on a kung fu action movie kick, so I've been going through all of the Ip Man movies that are all on Netflix.
I just watched all of those like literally 2 weeks ago. I watched all five of them.
They're so good. Donnie Yen is a god. And then I went through and I've been watching Blade, so I watched Blade 1 and 2.
Yeah.
So I'm just all about this Mortal Kombat. It's coming at the right time in my life. Like, all the stars have aligned.
Your life plays be good.
Yeah, as long as the like action scenes are good. Like I was watching it with my wife, and we're watching Blade 2, and the main vampire dude's daughter, after like a near-death experience, like the next morning, her hair is perfectly curled, and she's in makeup. I was like, why did she have time to do her hair? I'm like, that's not the point of these damn movies, Elizabeth. There's pretty girls, there's kicks in the face, there's blood, like it's Guillermo del Toro, all right? You just enjoy it for what it is.
It's supposed to be fun and stupid and look really cool.
Yes.
But Corey, what did Mara think?
Mara was asleep, thankfully, because even I have enough sense to let her watch Blade. I'm thinking this is going to be good. If they just use some of the source material, I swear to you guys, if you go back through and play Mortal Kombat.
Both 10 and 11 stories are really good.
Well, yeah, those are good. But even before that, what was the one that had like a full-blown like RPG in the middle of it with Shujinko?
Was that Armageddon?
I think it was Armageddon or the one before it.
Because I know they did Shaolin Monks. That was one of them that was very story-driven because that was like the co-op beat-em-up.
Yeah,
one
it was after
had,
that
like,
for sure. It was the one where you play the guy and you play through his entire life and it's like open world. It was really fucking good anyways. And you get to it's pretty much open world. such a good game. So I have high hopes. And you got to give a shout out to Derek in the chat with the amazing one-liners. That is the other thing I expect to be amazing and on point in the Mortal Kombat. There's nothing better than Blade 1 at the end where he just looks, he's like, some motherfucker just like I skating uphill or whatever he says. It's like, what the? Where did that come from? That's what I'm supposed to take away from this whole thing? Like, oh, so good. We got to go to a story real quick. Just an update on Cyberpunk 2077. You've heard what I've had to say. You've heard Kyle and Lexi, but we haven't heard Jada, because Jada, I get to see you appear online on the PlayStation or Xbox. I can't remember, but I noticed you were playing it. PlayStation. Mm-hmm. Give us your thoughts. You have the floor. I just really want to know, top to bottom, is it as bad as everyone's saying?
So launch was horrendous. I was playing on PS5, and I literally had a crash. My full game crashed every 2 hours, literally on the dot. I could stopwatch it. I knew exactly when I would need to, like, I need to put a manual save or a quick save right now, because if I open a menu or I look at this person wrong or jump, my game is going to crash.
Yeah.
And so, like, that honestly, it was really demoralizing for playing the game, especially because I'd spend 10 minutes going through my inventory, game crash, get to do it again. Yay. Yeah. But the story is solid. The characters are solid. The world is great. But it just leaves me wanting more, because like, it just, there's so many detractors to the game. It's just like, I've officially put it on hold until all of the updates and the full PS5 version drops in like August or September of this year, because like, even after 80-90 hours, like, I haven't credit rolled because I'm a completionist, so I've been doing every side quest, but I can't play it. It's for me, it's unplayable right now.
I put it in game purgatory as well, because I can only have, I was expecting funny glitches. Like, I'd be okay with that in some weird way. Like, I could survive off of, you know, punching a dude in a wheelchair and he stands up and runs away. Like, that's comedy. But just pure dead crashes and then, you know, having to restart from the last checkpoint, I can't do. Like, that's
it's
insult.
Especially when it's so stingy with quick saves and auto saves. Like, you need to, like, that was the one thing that I'm like, bro, we are in 2020, 2021 now. Like, why am I needing to go in and manually save every 10 minutes? Because it doesn't recognize to, like, save on an increment or any, like, it's just, oh my god. Like, oh, I got super far. I did a bunch of open world stuff, but because I didn't walk through, you know, and start a mission or complete a thing, I've now got to redo all of that. Like,
yep. I think my biggest bug that's completely put it into purgatory for me would be, I would literally, so I jump off a cliff or whatever and land, take a bunch of damage. Whatever. I expected that. It was a fall. It was a tall, it was a high drop. I step off of a couch onto like a bag of trash, instant death. Like, oh, just weird. Literally trips and snaps her neck, apparently. I don't know. Just, I flatline for no reason. I'm just like, okay, that's cool.
That's a Smash Bro brawl mechanics is what you fell into right there.
Yeah, freaking Donkey Kong dropping banana peels over in Cyberpunk.
So Cyberpunk is in the news again. For those of you who still have expectations, it's not doing great. So the co-founder of CD Projekt Red has come out and made a public statement regarding the launch, where basically he took full responsibility himself and on behalf of the company's management for the state of the game that it launched in. And as well as they handled this whole review period. They have a full announcement on their website, and I'll read it to you. Let's see. It feels pretty genuine. It says, "Dear gamers, thank you for calling us by our proper names. We are committed to fixing bugs and crashes and will continue to work and improve the game via future updates to make sure you are enjoying the game regardless of the platform. We will use this space to inform you about all the progress being made on Cyberpunk's further development, including information about updates and improvements, free DLCs, and more. Below, you'll find CD Projekt Red's personal explanation of what happened leading up to the launch and sharing the studio's perspective of what happened." And it's lip service, like it was 100%, all but... through the lead up when they were delaying this. You know, they kept saying, you know, one thing, and, you know, their actions are proof counter to the words that they say. So I wouldn't read too far into his words. You know, what we got is what we got, and it wasn't too good. They're also being sued. There's like 5 open lawsuits right now against the studio. Their stock has taken a ravage beating. What can be done to redeem them? Because even the likes of No Man's Sky didn't get this type of beating.
Yeah.
No Man's Sky wasn't as hyped as Cyberpunk. I think that's the big thing.
Yeah. I was going to say, there's also a really big, I think his name is Jason Schreier. He's like one of the most reputable journalists for games I've seen thus far. And like, he always does like big exposés and stuff like that. And so I think this came out and then he did his piece like the next day or two, which brought a lot of stuff out to light of like the process and a lot of, you know, talking to different people who were at the studio, are still at the studio, and a lot of like, oh, that makes sense. Yep. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. That makes sense of like why. I mean, the comparison between like GTA, what we made earlier, like GTA was like 3 or 4 times the amount of people as, you know, on the team. And it's, you know, spread across studios where this is one group. And they like, I think, had just scaled up to that level in more recent years. And so there's a lot of stuff that I feel you get a lot of info on there to kind of like get a nice balance of like, okay, what does the company say, what do the people in the company say, and the reporters. And then I think the same CEO guy also like did a comment on like a couple of things within the article, so it's kind of a nice little thread throughout all of that to kind of learn more about what happened and why it is the way it is and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm just going to take responsibility. I think I jinxed this one, guys. The Corey curse was back. I know for sure that this was the one. I was so sure this game
was. You pulled another Brink.
I brinked it.
You brinked it.
No. I brinked it. But I'm not going to brink 2021, the best year of our lives, everybody.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
Don't worry. 2021 is the year we fix it all. The inauguration's going to go smoothly. There's not going to be any civil wars.
We can only hope so.
Not one civil war is going to happen. And we're not going to destroy the fabric of democracy this week anyways. Last news story, because Jada brought it up, and we have to talk about this because it has to be discussed. Wonder Woman, what the fuck was that trash? And don't give me, I saw both sides on Twitter. Some people are going to like what they like, you know. It's so cool because, you know, if you don't like it, just don't say anything. No, you are an idiot and you are wrong.
So, I will play
a hardcore, like, comic fan. Like, I was just like, why?
So like,
it ruined Christmas. Don't give me that. It was just a fun little movie. No, it ruined Christmas for many people. I don't even think I went in there trying to hate. I loved the first one. The first one was so good. I had this
minus
the
last minus the ending, but yes.
Okay, the ending was a little whack, but still. But still. Everything. How? You took the best time period ever, the 80s, took it with your best franchise, Wonder Woman, and you blew it. Everybody deserves to be fired. They should just wipe the entire universe and start from scratch.
New Batman again.
Bring back Keaton. Bring back Michael Keaton and just start it over. Be like nothing ever happened. So give me your experience, Lexi, because you're all into these movies. I know you are not a hater. If there is one thing you are not, it's a hater. But the fact that you have issues with this movie, I need to hear your thoughts.
I'm just like, I feel like what they did was they were like, oh, since Wonder Woman, like the first one, did so well. And then they compared it to like Thor Ragnarok. This is my thinking. I'm like, they were like, oh,
like let's similar thread.
Let's use that vibe, hype everybody up. Because I was hyped. I mean, look, the poster, everything looks awesome. The trailer was kind of cool.
She was using the thing to like to Spider-Man through lightning bolts. Like,
I was like, this is going to be like Thor Ragnarok. Yeah. I'm really going to like this, enjoy it. It's going to be a little funny, but still going to keep the first movie's dark vibe. You know, it's Wonder Woman, you know? No. I don't know what happened. Like, I just don't get it. I'm with you, Corey. I'm like, why won't y'all just wipe the slate clean and start over? Like, I don't know why no one's done it. Like, it's almost like the universe was like, let's get these people together and create Marvel's universe, and that's it. But DC, y'all are crap. Like, y'all don't get anybody. Like, I'm
stick to the animated.
Yes. I'm just like, what? Like, and a lot of people want some of the animated series to be into the real life series. Like, I know they're bringing back Michael Keaton, so I'm like, I don't know if I trust y'all to do it the right way. Like, I don't know.
That's
like,
a good point.
I didn't like it. And I'm scared about the next Batman movies and stuff.
Oh, I'm terrified for those. I'm like literally terrified to go in to watch them.
Jada, what did you hate most about Wonder Woman?
I hate most about it?
Most about it, yeah.
Oh man. It didn't make any damn sense. None of it made any sense. I like, okay, so like I went through and I sat through, I watched the whole movie and I was like, okay, that was cool. Like the action sex sequences that they did, if you take any of those action sequences and kind of put them stand alone, they're like, okay, I see why people might enjoy this. But when you start looking at it as a movie, which is what it was, which is a correlation from scene to scene.
Yeah.
There's just no, like, nothing pieced together. There were so many plot holes. Like, why did he have to come back to life? Why did, you know, they have to do the things they did?
They totally shoehorned that in there. They did not need to bring back that thread and that guy. And in doing so, like, how did it get through so many people with one of your most progressively, like, strong female antagonists that she ended up raping a guy pretty much? Like, yeah. I don't care, Elizabeth, if I come back or somebody says they're me in another body, even if you're 99% sure, don't fuck him, all right? Like, what?
Not even if she gives you give her the code word?
No! If it's not my equipment, like, no. I'm not doing no excavations. Like,
no, to add to that point, like, honestly, they took Captain America's like love story, mix that in there. Took Thor Ragnarok's like look and feel, mix that in. They basically was like, okay, Marvel did it, so it's our turn. And I think they were like, and this will sell, and this will be our next big hit to like continue to rise. Nope.
Honestly, I think the biggest issue I had with Wonder Woman was that it was a movie that literally didn't have to be about Wonder Woman. You could literally have replaced Wonder Woman with any other superhero or regular person, whatever, and the movie would not change.
It would have still been terrible, but it wouldn't have changed, yeah.
It wouldn't have changed. It wouldn't change a thing. So,
Kyle, what'd you think, man?
I didn't watch it. I've heard terrible reviews for it. I'm smart. Just myself the 2 hours. I can watch something else instead, dude. I'll go outside. I'll go on a walk. I don't care. I don't need that in my life.
Exercise. Exercise is preferred to watching Wonder Woman 84.
You know what? While Wonder Woman was over there ruining Christmas, thank God for Disney Plus, who does not Soul? Miss and posted out
oh,
Soul.
Oh, I love that movie.
Soul
oh,
saved Christmas, Soul was everybody. So good.
The only issue I have with Soul, and it's not just Soul, it's Disney, and anytime we get like a black protagonist, we have to get transformed into something.
That's
why are the
weird
black
one. Yeah.
I didn't even notice.
Why
that.
Is like it's, why does the black the black protagonists are the only ones who get transformed, minus Aladdin, which is still a person of color.
Yeah,
exactly. So no, I totally agree with that.
So like Disney, come on.
I was
on.
Thinking that.
Mm-hmm. Disney, give us.
I was
come
just
on.
Like, what the crap? Like, we have Princess and the Frog, which is super cute, super cool, but same thing.
Half the movie.
Half the movie. Like,
yeah.
The only one that I even saw was Pocahontas because I like Pocahontas too. But I'm like, she's still with the wind and stuff. Y'all still trying to do a little something, something there. So I'm like, y'all still, you know, it's still there. Y'all got her talking to the, you know. So I'm like, no, why can't we just have straight up like regular movie?
Can let me get a black superhero in the Disney princesses like Elsa. Let me get a black Elsa. Not necessarily ice powers, but you know, let me get a black Elsa.
Whoa. Yeah, man, that movie was good. You know, I love the way they deal with like stuff like Inside Out, I think, is my favorite one, because the way they humanize emotions, and in the same way they made you kind of reconsider emotions, they did the same thing with like your soul and your being and stuff. And it was just
your spark.
Yeah, your spark. I loved it. You can't leave that movie and not feel like inspired to pursue that one thing.
Whatever you want to do, and instead of the thing that you're supposed to do or your whatever. It's such
a great message. Movie.
So good on Disney, man. They do not miss right now. And they're going to be feeding us. See, this time next year, we are going to be all subscribed to the Church of Mickey Mouse, because each week we're going to have a new Disney, Star Wars, new WandaVision, and Mandalorian are literally just the beginning. When they show
drinking from a fire hose, my dude.
I know. We will be drowning in content in the next couple years. So keep your eyes on that. But that's our first show of 2021. Thanks everybody for listening, checking it out. We are back. We'll be back with regular shows. I believe we're going to come back live on stream next Friday. Skip and Tosh is going to be back, and David Webb has already verbally agreed. We're in the verbal stages of the contract.
Newly married David Webb.
Yeah, the newly Webb.
Newly Webb.
We'll be returning back. Trademark that one. So Kyle, the winner, where can people interact with you, tell you all the things you got wrong about this week's show?
At Kyle the Winner on Twitter. That's the only social media thing I do, and that's where it's at.
Yeah, you had to shut Kyle down your winner. Parler account. Sorry about that.
Oh. Don't call me out. I'm not even gonna joke about that. No. Oh my
god. Jada, man, it's been forever. Where have you been most active on social media?
Just Twitter. Twitter as well. Jada_Rina, RINA.
And then we will start setting up weekly meetings to get Video Game Bang the Game off the ground. 99 cents on iTunes is going to be the price point already. And
I mean, if you want something that simple, I could probably cook something that simple up. Like, immediately.
No, I can't afford a cyberpunk controversy, all right?
That doesn't take much.
We're going to do this shit right, all right? No glitches, no errors. And
I don't promise that.
Lexi, you know what? I was waiting for the end of the show because you've been so amazing part of the VGB family. And it was due time to get the Lexi emote in the chat. So if you look under the stream, pending, we didn't get it swatted down from the... Yeah, it's there. Boom! VGB Lex in the chat.
Are you serious?
She's out here, everybody. So you come to twitch.tv/videogame_bang and spam those VGB Lexes. And
you're going to make me cry. That's my first time seeing that photo of myself. Oh my god. Oh my god. Amazing. Thank you, Corey. Thank you, guys. Y'all are the best. Oh my god. That's so sick. I'm freaking out. I'm sorry.
Every time Lexi says something positive, you put that in there.
Like, Mama, I made it.
Yeah, right?
Lexi, where can people follow you on the social media, and what's coming around 2K?
Sure. So I've been streaming at least once a week. They've been kind of like hybrid streams. Like, I invite certain people. So if you don't follow me on my stream, you kind of don't know, because I'm always scared to just put it out there. But you can find me streaming @XSpaceMintyX. So make sure to follow me there. And then on Twitter, I'm always trying to come up with some silly or cool puns. So that's LexiJPR. And then as far as 2K goes, you guys can keep killing it on the courses for golf. Hit me up if you are a creator and you play PGA or you play WWE Battlegrounds. And I'll hook you up with the right person for future things that we have going on. So, yeah.
I'm looking forward to those Jada and Lexi crossover League of Legends streams because I happen to know Jada is a League of Legends OG. She's been around since beta.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she was killing it. We had some hard games though.
Oh, you guys already played together?
Killing it.
Yeah, we played a couple games. Played a couple games last night. We had some feeders though. We had some feeders
and then our jungles. Two times my computer just destroyed itself, basically. So I had to like log off, log back on. One game we won, Jada carried that game. The other game, it was just a lost cause
because lightning doesn't strike twice.
But yeah, we gotta show you guys.
Don't know whether to be happy that a new friendship is budding or sad that I wasn't invited to play. So I'll think about that over the week.
Oh, I feel like a VGB game of League of Legends would be a beautiful nightmare.
Oh, let's do it though.
Just give me that Fiddlesticks jungle.
We did this way back in the day, Corey. Do you remember?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I remember.
We did this way back in the day, and I was the only, at the time, I was the only person playing League on the team. Like, the other four people, it was Corey, Aaron, Steven, and somebody else. Oh, I think, was it Bags?
Probably. Yeah, it was probably
And Bags played, so it was just me and Bags, and we're the only two actually had played it, and we got, it was not.
I think there's clips on YouTube, too.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty.
I think you can go to VGB YouTube. It's like one of the first videos we ever uploaded.
Damn, it was pretty. Get rolled.
But it was fun. That's all that matters.
Yeah, that's all video games are for, is fun. So thank you guys for listening. For Jada, Kyle, Lexi, my name is Corey, saying you've just been banged.